The Lord is risen. Alleluia. Alleluia. Happy Easter, brothers and sisters. Today the church celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, where our Lord has given a blow to hell, to Satan, and to death itself. Today we celebrate the most important feast day of the Christian calendar as we bask in the presence of our glorious and resurrected Lord. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "If Christ did not rise from the dead, your faith is in vain." If Christ did not rise from the dead, then you are still in your sins. Do you see how important, how essential, how foundational the resurrection of Jesus Christ is for our faith, brothers and sisters? It is everything. It is defining of who we are. There's an ancient tradition of the church, confirmed by many of the mystics in our Catholic tradition, that the first person that Christ our God appeared to after his resurrection was the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, this isn't accounted in the Holy Gospel, but to many of the saints who Jesus appeared to throughout the ages, he said that before he appeared to his apostles, he appeared to console his sorrowful mother. And it would be fitting, for who knew the pain of the cross like Mary, his mother, who stood there and watched her son undergo the most agonizing death possible. Today, her heart is flooded, like ours, with consolation and joy. But when you think about it, you and I have a serious disadvantage over what the apostles in the early church experienced. Because many of you were here on Good Friday, as we heard and commemorated the passion and death of Christ. But you and I, we know the end story. We knew all along that he would rise from the dead. But the apostles didn't. Sure, Jesus had many times, in fact, three times before his death, had told his apostles that he had to go to Jerusalem, that he would be killed there by the priests, but that he would rise from the third day. But they couldn't wrap it around their minds what he meant. I'm sure, just like the apostles before the resurrection of Jesus, he was like you and I. Have any of you ever seen someone rise from the dead? I haven't. Never. And I'm sure, like myself, many of you have buried loved ones, ones in whom you wished could rise from the dead. I certainly know that there are people in my life that I wish that were the case. And yet our Catholic faith tells us and assures us that at the end of time, as a consequence of Jesus Christ rising from the dead and our baptism into Christ, that our bodies will also be raised from the dead, that we will spend eternity worshiping the Trinity with our body and our soul, because we share in his death and resurrection as Christians. But how can you and I really know? What's the foundation for faith in the resurrection of Christ? If belief that Jesus rose from the dead is real, how can we believe it? That's an important question for all of us as disciples of Christ to ask. What's the conviction we can hold in our hearts? How can we be persuasive to others? Because if Christ truly did rise from the dead, that changes everything, doesn't it? It proves that he is God and the claims he makes are real. So to get this is so vital. And the Holy Scriptures, the Gospels, were written for one purpose: to show that the crucified Lord was raised from the dead and truly is the Son of God. That's it. That he died for the forgiveness of our sins, that those who seek repentance in his name through the power of his blood will be granted eternal life. Christ was buried in a garden. His body was laid there, just as Adam and Eve at the beginning of time had been created in a garden and disobeyed God by eating the fruit in the garden. He had died in a garden and was buried in a garden and rose in a garden to show that his work is undoing what Satan did at the beginning of time. That by his death, he frees us from Satan's power. In a mysterious way, the Gospels show that the Jewish priests had almost more faith in the resurrection of Christ than the apostles did. Strange, right? Because the apostles are kind of the original agnostics when it came to the moment of the resurrection. They're constantly doubting. And we'll hear next week and the following week that even after Jesus has appeared to them a few times, they still are a little kind of doubting. They think, is it a hallucination? What's going on? So they're not quick to believe. They're very slow. The priests, on the other hand, of the temple, immediately after Jesus' death, they break the Sabbath law. Ha! Those who had tried to trap Jesus and claiming that he broke the Sabbath law when he never did were the ones who actually broke the Sabbath law, going to the Jewish priests and saying to Pilate, we want to take his body, because this man prophesied in the temple that if you destroy this temple of my body, in 3 days I will raise it up. The priest had seen Jesus Christ raise his friend Lazarus from the dead just 2 weeks prior, and they were worried. So Pilate agreed, against his will, to station several Roman soldiers there and to have the tomb sealed. So there you have it, a tomb with Roman soldiers, the most powerful warriors at that time in the history of the world, guarding the tomb of Jesus as the king lies in state. When the women go at dawn on the first day of the week, that is Sunday, they find the tomb empty. They didn't go expecting the resurrection. In fact, we're told they went carrying oils to anoint his body. They planned all along to embalm him. But they find the tomb open and empty. You can imagine their first reaction wasn't, he's risen from the dead. It's, someone stolen his body. Where have they taken it? The question remains, who would be strong enough to bring down Roman soldiers? When they entered, they realized that he wasn't there. So Mary Magdalene ran to Peter and John, who ran as quick as they could to get there. And they discovered the same reality. But this time we heard it at the end of the gospel. They recognize that his burial cloths are left. The veil that had covered his face had been neatly folded and placed at the head of the sepulcher. And the cloth that Jesus' body had been wrapped in were left piled up. And they were amazed. Now, what's so amazing about a pile of dirty laundry? Well, that's actually very significant. Because if Jesus Christ's body had been stolen by his apostles or by his enemies, they wouldn't have unwrapped his body from this white burial cloth, because underneath he was completely naked and covered in wounds and blood and dirt. They would have taken it. But there it was. To this day, we have what's called the Holy Shroud of Turin, which bears the image of the risen and crucified Lord. He left an imprint of his divine image there for the world to see. You see, the empty tomb and the burial cloths don't in and of themselves promise de facto that Jesus rose from the dead, but they were and are necessary preconditions for him to have been risen from the dead. Meaning, if he was raised, his body couldn't be there. And you see after that, that Mary Magdalene is the first to encounter him. As soon as the apostles leave, she lingers at the tomb. Mary Magdalene, who a week before, the Saturday before Palm Sunday, had taken priceless oil, we're told the oil that cost 300 days' wages, almost a year. And she went into the house, knelt down at the feet of Jesus, and took the oil and anointed his feet, anointed his hair. And the scriptures tell us that this was a prefigurement of his burial anointing before death. Then again, on Good Friday, St. Mary Magdalene stood with the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Apostle John at the foot of the cross. Once again, she's found at the feet of Jesus. And on Easter Sunday, when she encounters the risen Lord, she falls at his feet to show that the essence of discipleship is to remain at the feet of Jesus. When she saw Jesus as he had been raised, she didn't know who he was. Because in her grief, it didn't calculate in her mind that he'd risen yet. All it took was our Lord saying to her, "Mary." He called her by her name, Mary. And in an instant, she said, "Rabboni, Master." She knew it was the Lord. How? Because Jesus had solemnly taught in John chapter 10 when he said that he was the good shepherd. He said, "My sheep know my voice." When the good shepherd was raised, Mary heard the voice of the good shepherd, and she knew it is the Lord. Brothers and sisters, Christ has truly been raised from the dead. The apostles, they may have fumbled along the way in faith, but they come to it and they recognize that he is truly risen. And this band of 12 men whom Jesus had chosen, who had betrayed him, denied him, made a fool of themselves during his earthly ministry. These men who, even after he was raised from the dead, were slow of heart to believe. Once they were convicted, they would go to the ends of the world and preach in the courts of kings and emperors. They would convert whole nations and kingdoms. And each of them, minus one, shed their blood. They died torturous deaths at the hands of civil leaders to give testimony that Christ was raised. 11 of them were all given the choice as either they were stoned, beheaded, their eyes plucked out of them, their feet, the soles of their feet cut off, their heads sawed off. Each and every one of them were given an opportunity to say they made it up. It's not real. And every single one of them, minus John, who was promised by the Lord not to be a martyr, shed their blood, saying, "No, he did truly rise from the dead." These were not men who were delusional or foolish anymore. They were men who served a king. A king who was God, who came in the name of his Father to bring the forgiveness of our sins. Today we gather as a church solemnly for the breaking of the bread. Because the first act that Christ did with his disciples after the resurrection was to celebrate the Eucharist. Because when the Eucharist is celebrated, the crucified and risen Lord is on our altar and in our midst. So today, we not only celebrate his resurrection, but we have communion with our risen Lord. And by his holy and glorious wounds, may Christ protect and guard us in his merciful love. Amen.